On that same score, I'm going to throw in this question for both of you. Do you have an opinion about numbers of points bears? Does that make any difference in your opinion of the case?
Say that again. Do you have an opinion
about the number of points of errors in a brief? Does that make any difference to you?
Yeah. Don't argue things that aren't meritorious. I mean, since we're not doing death penalty cases, we generally don't have, you know, some of these crazy like 24 points of error. I mean, on the most part, I would say, you know, I used to say in the Army, you start with your highest casualty producing weapon, right? That's what you open with. What do you think is your strongest thing if you have, you know, 10 points of error, if you can craft your argument like that? But I haven't seen an abuse of that. But I mean, I'd be pretty surprised for your average felony case if there were 12 points of error. Now, maybe it was maybe there were 12 points of error, but I haven't had that as something that's off-putting for me personally.
Chief Justice Christopher, do you have an opinion on that number of points?
Well, I tend to think that when I first look at it, if there are a lot of points, that, you know, some of them are not going to be any good. That's just sort of my initial reaction if I see 10 points of error. So generally, I would say don't do 10 points of error. And the point of error I really don't like to see in a criminal case is the cumulative error point. Down at the bottom, because, you know, it just really doesn't exist. So it's possible, but you got to prove error before then. So I'm not saying if you got 10 good ones, do 10 good ones. But generally, if I look at the issues and I see 10, I'm like, we'll see.
If you do have 10 good ones, you might should make an opening statement to that effect. If I realize this is a lot of points, but believe me, they're all good. Justice Kelly, when you open a new brief, what's the first thing you want to see? For example, I always advise appellate lawyers to put the points of error and responses in the table of contents. I'm amazed how many people don't do this. And do you like the detailed table of contents that are becoming more common now with subheadings, all the subheadings in the brief and all of that sort of thing?
So the first thing I look at is the organization of the brief. And, you know, Rose's presentation brought forth a lot of really excellent points, knowing that, like the Court of Criminal Appeals, the Third Court, by way of example, used to exclusively do our edits on paper and read things in paper, and now it's all online. And so those things that were easier to read on paper now, when you're looking at a font that's not pleasing to the eye. So the perfect example I'll give for your average criminal brief is a lot of them are just like scanned on a copier circa 2010. You know, they haven't been saved to an Adobe document. They're not PDF, they're not bookmarked. They're not all of these other sort of bells and whistles that I'm telling you on the civil side is almost the industry standard. They're all bookmarked and they're all formatted very nicely. In the criminal side, I've seen them less likely to do those things. So just something that's easy to electronically work through. I go through chronologically the brief and I read the table of contents first. And I like a detailed table of contents, but not three paragraphs. I mean, maybe if you have two or three lines, but not a whole paragraph of argument. If your description in your table of contents is in all caps and or all caps and bolded, no one is reading it, because it is too hard on the eyes to read on the screen. It's like somebody screaming in your face, these are my points of error, number one, number two. So also in the beginning of the brief, a lot of practitioners waste this like fifth page and they create almost a new title page. I don't know why they do that. It's a complete waste of space. It doesn't make any difference with the appeal. We get them in about half of our briefs. And just some nice, you know, pithy summaries of what your issue is up front can be quite helpful.
Justice Christopher?
Yes, I love the detailed table of contents. I think they're really useful. And sometimes I'll have both briefs open side by side so that I'll know what the state response is to the appellant's brief. And if the state has a detailed response, that's really useful too. So Like I was looking at one brief, it had a great table of contents, issues presented. And then I looked at the state's brief and, you know, the state's brief was reply to one and two, no harm. You know, reply to one and number three, waived. Reply to five, you know. And so I can look at the state's brief and when I'm just their table of contents. And while I'm reading the appellant's brief, it will help me look for things, right? Because I can look all day for something and not see an acknowledgement that something has been waived in the appellant's brief. So, you know, I'm waiting to see that in the state's brief and that will impact how I read it. And I absolutely agree with Justice Kelly. I do not like caps and bold and only one emphasis at a time.
And Jay, if I could say this, one of the first things that I do, and I'm sure many appellate judges do this, is I open up, particularly now in a PDF, I'm like, how long is this? You know, and you'll see it's like, is this a 30-page brief? Is this a 50-page brief? Is it a 100-page brief, right? But sometimes, you know, when you look and you're like, okay, there are 30 pages of attachments, you know, in the bookmarks. But sometimes if it's bookmarked, that makes it easier, you know, to go through. And I see this question, like, what does bookmarking mean in this context? So when you submit in Adobe, you can take your brief and you can bookmark each section of the brief where you have that tab on the left side of Adobe where you click and it will take you to section one, section two, section three. And it's just something that you need to play around a little bit with Adobe. Maybe your office has, you might have an issue whether or not the office has the license for it, but it's generally a very simple thing to be able to do. And it allows us to click through the brief easily. So if my staff attorney has given me a draft and I'm going through the briefs and I'm going back and I'm like, wait, what did they are, you know, what was the state's response to this? I can click to it.